Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Life can feel overwhelming. But on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. This is your Main Street Cred edition with my co-host, Tony Colombo, in studio. This is our happy place. Welcome in. How you doing, Tony?
Welcome to our happy place.
So
great.
We've been doing this episode weekly, uploading it in the early part of the week. We have another episode that uploads later in the week. And this is where we talk to you about some of those kind of heritage things that, the Walt Disney World Company has put into the parks, the extras, the fun extras. And Tony walks you through all those. And then at the end, I'm going to update you on the latest news in all things Disney World. And yes, in fact, Disney has spoken on the coronavirus issue. So stick around for that.
Yeah.
Interested to hear what they have to say.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah.
So I'm
this is where you come for your news.
You do.
Your Disney World news.
Dang right, you do.
The important stuff.
Yeah. So I mentioned, you know, since we started this podcast, that there are things around Disney World and all the parks everywhere. That is a Disney owned anything. There's details, as Annie mentioned. There's secrets. There's a whole lot. There's backstories. There's entire stories dedicated to little things, pictures on the wall that you wouldn't even realize has all this history and this meaning behind it. And this stuff is everywhere.
Every single thing at Disney World is purposeful.
Yeah. Yep. Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
The color of everything, the location of everything, the thought of what this particular place looks like to somebody like Tony and me, who are like, you know, around 5 feet, 6 feet tall, or like 5'10". What are you? Six?
5'8".
5'8"? Oh, yeah. I'm 5'8".
6 foot. No.
It's a podcast. You can be as tall as you want.
I'm 6'4".
6'4". A svelte 185.
Yeah, you got that right.
You know, if you're an adult,
I have a real hard time putting on weight. I just eat and eat and eat and I can't.
Yeah, you need to stop doing these push-ups right now. We need to do this podcast. If you are viewing something from the perspective of an adult, there are places in Disney World that looks purposefully different from the viewpoint of a child. It's it's just the detail is amazing.
And it's
it
everywhere.
Makes, especially if you haven't been ever before, or maybe you were there a long time ago, a lot of this detail really makes the trip more magical.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a perfect way to put it. Makes it more magical, especially since, I say this every week, there's plenty of money being spent and time standing in lines at Disney World. And that is two things that can kind of take you away from the magic when you're standing in long lines, when you feel like you could be doing things better with your time. Well, here's some things that you can do that are free, that don't require standing in any lines, little bits of trivia or little adventures you can go on inside the parks. And I talked about the scavenger hunt to find the phone in the Magic Kingdom on the first episode that we did this. I think the second episode, first time we talked about the details. So you can go back and hear that. And I'm going to start this week with my next scavenger hunt that I just learned about.
This is new.
Yeah, so I just learned about this. I have not
coronavirus.
Haven't done this one myself yet. So this last couple weeks, I have stuck in Magic Kingdom, and there's plenty more to talk about in Magic Kingdom. So we'll be back to Magic Kingdom soon. But today we're going to talk about Epcot. I still call it Epcot Center. I don't think Disney calls it Epcot Center
like
anymore.
The whole park?
Yeah.
No.
What do they call it now?
Epcot.
That's it?
Epcot.
Okay.
Yeah.
They used to call it Epcot Center.
Yeah.
Right? I think they did. It might have been 30 years ago,
yeah,
but I think they did.
Maybe. I
literally still call it Epcot Center.
It's okay. You're allowed.
I want to say Epcot Center, but I don't think that that's...
You saying that is familiar to me. So I think that it maybe was... Because I think we went in 1991, and then I didn't go again until 2018. So some stuff happened in between there.
Yeah.
Like me getting married, having
kids. In 1991, growing up, becoming an adult.
And that was when it was pretty new.
Yeah. So I think it was called Epcot Center way back then. So anyway, Epcot. Yes. Epcot. These are all... dealing with Epcot, mostly the World Showcase within Epcot. And like I said,
I love the World Showcase.
Next time we go, my next scavenger hunt that I'm going to go on with my kids, like when we ran around looking for the phone.
Originally known as Epcot Center from the park's opening in 1982 until 1993.
There you go.
Which is when I was in 91 when I went. So it was Epcot Center.
Epcot Center. I knew it. It's been, how long has it not been that, though?
In 1994, the name was changed to Epcot 94, then Epcot 95 the following year. I think maybe.
They couldn't keep that theme going very long.
Yeah. Now it's just Epcot.
Okay.
And it stands for, some people don't know this, the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, because it was Walt Disney's dream. It was supposed to be like an actual functioning community at first.
Walt Disney had, like, honestly introduced this idea to the government.
Yeah.
Like, here's how we should build cities. And Epcot is the example of, well, the Tomorrowland part of Epcot, not the World Showcase part, the other part of Epcot.
Future World.
Excuse me, Tomorrowland's a Magic Kingdom.
Which is being completely redone now.
Future World inside Epcot is built as Walt Disney's example of how to build a city.
They'd have really futuristic things like vacuums that were robots that would roam around your house and clean up your floors.
Yeah.
Which we now have.
Yeah.
And many other things. Touchscreens was a big deal.
I'm going to throw in a bonus now just off the top of my head.
Bonus!
That I didn't even take notes on. I should have saved this for a future episode. But, scratch that, because it's in Tomorrowland, not in Future World. It's in Magic Kingdom,
we'll
not
go
in
back
Epcot
to that.
Center. Yeah, so I will go back to that one. But oh, that's a good one.
I'm excited.
That's
about...
a good one for a future episode.
Write it down.
I am.
I'm excited about the developments that are taking place, like big developments taking place at Epcot right now, because Future World looked like yesterday's Future World, and it's not going to look like that anymore.
Right.
A lot of cool things happening.
Yeah, it kind of looked like Star Wars, like what they thought the future was going to look in the 60s, what they thought the future was going to look like doesn't look like the future anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Epcot, but they're fixing it, and it's still great.
Yep.
And World Showcase is
so
cool. Oh, my God. So that's where we're going to start, World Showcase. That's where most of the stuff today is. So the next time I'm there with my kid and we have some time and we want to go on a fun little scavenger hunt inside Epcot, inside World Showcase, inside Canada, which is kind
immediately
of...
immediately to the right.
Yeah, like the first... If you're going that way, it's the first country you go into.
Do you go Mexico first, or have you done the World Showcase before?
Yeah.
Which way do you go first?
I've always gone Canada first.
That figures.
You go Mexico first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's the margaritas.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You need to start your trip out
think about that.
Correctly. I mean, not that there's not delicious things to drink
right.
in Canada, but unless they're Canadian margaritas, I'm going left.
So, go to Canada. There's actually two. Here's a real bonus for you. There's actually one really well-known, kind of well-lit, everybody's going this path to go into Canada. There's a second entrance into Canada that takes you kind of on a little rope bridge, on a pretty long walk, on a rope bridge that goes right up next to the waterfall that's coming off the rocks there, right in front of Canada, and takes you right up to the O Canada building. And not very many people know that you can even go that way.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a little lesser...
Kind of a serene place, too, to go if you have little kids.
Do you know
kids.
What I'm talking about? Have you been on that bridge?
I know where you're talking about. I've never gone back there.
It doesn't look like
Again,
it goes
I always
anywhere.
Start with margaritas in Mexico, so Canada might not get its due.
Well, it doesn't look like there's a little sign that says, like, oh, Canada, with an arrow pointing to the bridge. But the bridge looks like it kind of just walks into the rocks and then disappears.
But it doesn't.
There's a whole trail back there. And... not very many people, because everybody else is going the other way, and the bridge is pretty skinny, so it looks like kind of a tight little walk, and so everybody goes that way, but if you go on that rope bridge...
You have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a really cool little path that takes you into Canada.
There's a lot of different things that people...
There's a bonus.
Specifically, I have a friend who has a child with sensory needs.
Mm-hmm.
There are several places in World Showcase that are really neat to go and explore that are not as... nuts.
There's nobody ever walking on this thing. And you go right between the rocks and you go right up. Like you can touch the waterfall. You're so close
to
it.
So a really cool place that instead of just sitting and waiting for someone to get off a ride that you may not want to ride or that maybe a kid doesn't want to ride, go explore.
Right.
Very cool.
And now I'll finally get to it. Speaking of exploring, which you're in Canada. No, we haven't even started with number one yet. Once you're in Canada, go into the Toy Soldier store. And I haven't even done this yet myself, but apparently inside the Toy Soldier store, somewhere in the back, there is a door that has a glass window on the door that says cast members only. But if you can't go in it, obviously, but if you look inside, it's a fully themed Disney room that used to be the Winnie the Pooh meet and greet area.
No.
So it's Christopher Robin's bedroom.
In Canada?
Yeah. Mm. It's Christopher Robin's bedroom.
Oh, I've heard of
it. It's back in the Toy Story, or in the Toy Soldier.
I'm glad you said that, because I've heard of Christopher Robin's bedroom, and I looked for it.
But it's closed. But they haven't touched it.
But you can see. Can't you see in the door?
You can see in it.
Yes.
Yes. So that's what that is going to be our next.
So if you're a Winnie the Pooh fan.
Especially if you're a Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, I'm a huge Winnie the Pooh fan.
Especially if you're the Winnie the Pooh fan. You go into the Toy Soldier store in Canada and find this door. Apparently it's somewhere in the back. Kind of, it's very nondescript and hidden, but if you can find it, it says cast members only, so you can't go in it, but you can look inside, and it is a fully themed Winnie the Pooh room.
It's Christopher Robin's bedroom.
Yeah, it's
that's
got his.
That's so cool.
It's got, yeah, and it used to be where they did the meet and greets. When you would meet Winnie the Pooh and get your stuff signed, that's where they did it, but they moved that, I think, in 2016, but they never have touched the room. So it's still Christopher Robin's bedroom back there, which is really, for me, that is something that is so cool.
If you've got a kiddo that
is... So go on your scavenger hunt to find Christopher Robin's bedroom.
That's the type of thing that you get to go seek out and find and show your kids and tell them this is really Christopher Robin's bedroom. Because it is.
Because it is.
And that will be
a special moment. Well, that's kind of the point. Like, Disney still recognizes it as Christopher Robin's bedroom. That's why they haven't touched it. That's why they haven't changed it. That's why they haven't done anything with it, because they still recognize that room as Christopher Robin's bedroom. So it's fully themed completely. It's really, I've seen pictures. I haven't done this yet because I just learned about it. I can't wait to do it. And yeah, tell your kids it is his bedroom, or tell them that it's a secret room that nobody, it is. It's a secret room that nobody knows about.
But you
Let's try to find it. It's something fun that you can do that nobody else is doing. You don't have to stand in line to do it. Maybe if there's bad weather, the thing is inside, so maybe it's a good way to kill some time if you're going through one of those 30-minute rain showers in Florida. And have a little free bonus fun. So
very cool.
I'm for sure doing that this year. Can't wait to try to find Christopher Robin's.
I love Winnie the Pooh. I'm actually almost not emotionally stable enough to go and read Winnie the Pooh to my kids. Like, my husband has to do that. There is heavy stuff in that.
Yeah,
that
I'm not a big Winnie. I'm not a big Winnie.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, we've had this discussion.
I was offended
on the radio before. I'm not a big Winnie the Pooh, but
is it because
I will definitely do that.
Have you ever read it cover to cover?
No.
Well, don't. It will wreck you. It will ruin.
I've only watched the.
You will look at your children and want to freeze and pause time.
I'm sure about
every
that.
Moment that you see them, it breaks my heart. And then I'm like, let's read it again. Yeah. Mm.
It's weird to me that Eeyore's tail is pinned on him. Number two.
He's a toy.
I know, but he's talking. I don't know.
I hate to break this to you.
They're all toys.
It's Christopher Robin's imagination.
Yeah, I know.
Eeyore isn't actually, in fact, real.
I know.
Unless he is.
Kind of like Calvin and Hobbes. All right, here we go. Number two. Germany and China are right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a bridge that doesn't look like anything but a bridge that takes you from Germany into China. It's right by...
From like the back...
Yeah, it's right by the African outpost.
Oh.
Little store, little shop, little African outpost shop. There's a bridge.
Okay.
That goes.
But it's not under
from Germany into China.
My husband and I were able to explore a lot more in World Showcase when it was just the two of us. And we went into China through the big entrance way. So that's a different.
It's a different.
Cool.
It's a different. Yes.
You can sneak into China.
And, yes, you can. And you want to do this, trick that I'm about to tell you, you want to be in German, on the Germany side, not the China side. Although you can be on the China side and still see this, you get a better view from the Germany side. So find the African outpost shop in Germany, which is right on the border of China, right on this bridge, which doesn't look like anything but a regular old bridge, but it's actually a lift bridge. And sometime every single day between 4 and 5 o'clock, they lift it, and all the barges go into the lagoon for the fireworks show that night.
Which I think right now is called Epcot Forever.
Something like
that. But then it's going to turn into Harmonious at
some
point.
But you get to, like, right up close see all of the barges,
like
all the fireworks stuff, and all the decorations, like the big, huge globe that's out there in the middle of the water, and all the...
It just put right through the drawbridge.
And you never get to see that stuff up close. It's always way out in the middle of the lagoon while you're watching the fireworks, but you can actually see all of this stuff up close, especially if you're kind of a geek about the fireworks, like how big are these fireworks, how many of them, like seriously, how would this look up close? You can see it all up close. It takes about 7 minutes for all the barges to go through. It happens every day between 4 and 5 o'clock, right there at that bridge, right by the African outpost. Germany and China, you get a better view from the Germany side. But if you get stuck on the China side, you can still see it over there as well. But that, to me, if I just stumbled on that, I would be like, whoa.
Yeah, check this out. Like, you're kind of getting to see backstage a little bit.
You're getting to see, you're getting to see behind the curtain.
Or if you don't want to get stuck, know what time that goes, because you know that the drawbridge is going to go up.
Yeah, it happens
and
between 4 and 5.
Slow
and
down
your
progress.
It only takes about 7 minutes, so which has got, they got to be cooking. If they're getting through there in 5 minutes.
I'm sure they are.
Because there's a lot of stuff involved in that fireworks show. So that's the entrance. That's how they get into the lagoon every night, right through that spot.
Very cool.
So that's where you can stand and wait, be around that area in the 4 o'clock hour. And if you want to see that stuff up close and personal, that's how you do it. Another cool little scavenger hunt or a little secret that you can take your kids on.
Kids are going to think you just know everything.
Yeah, right.
Come over here at this time. We're going to see this. Go around this corner. We're going to see that. Yeah.
So this is a perfect time if we're going to talk about Erica. Are we going to promote Erica at
all
today?
Yes. Erica Murphy is...
one of the co-hosts of this podcast.
Yeah. She's on with me on the one that's later, and it's just like Disney World planning for first-timers or for people who just like to have conversations about planning Disney World vacations. She is... our friend, first and foremost. She became our Disney travel agent after the fact. We knew her beforehand. She worked at the radio station with us. She has changed her day job, but she does all of this travel planning. She's done it for Tony. She's done it for myself. She's done it for, I don't know, a dozen other people who work in the building here with us, and she's the best. So you can reach out to her on Facebook, Erica Murphy, Magic Expeditions. Erica's E-R-I-K-A, or erica@magicexpeditions.com is her email address. Direct contact Erica, and you can just ask her questions. You don't have to, you know, you're not writing any checks, you're not giving credit card numbers or anything to start the conversation with her if you've ever thought about planning a vacation. In my opinion, she's the absolute best. She's who I use.
Yeah, so this is one of the things, it's not necessarily a secret, but it's one of the things that people like Erica will know that you won't know unless you've done all this research. So it's better to just use their knowledge on things like this. There is a second entrance to Epcot that a lot of people don't know of that's right by the International Gateway. It's not the commonly used entrance, which means it is not as busy and you don't stand in line as long and you get in a whole lot faster. But most people don't know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not very busy. I've talked about this before. We always stay at the Polynesian when we go to Disney World. Half of the reason that we stay at the Polynesian. I mean, we love the Polynesian. We love it for the theming. We love the pool. But half the reason that we stay at the Polynesian is because of how easy it is to get to the Magic Kingdom.
Access
from the
to the castle.
Because you can get, there's a boat that takes you from the boat only runs from the Grand Floridian and the Polynesian to Magic Kingdom. There's nowhere else to get on the boat. There's no other way to get on the boat. And the boat has its own special entrance to Magic Kingdom. So when I get on this boat, in the boat comes every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're just constantly going. So when we are when we're at the resort there at the Polynesian, and it's a Magic Kingdom day, which we always go at least twice. We always do the Magic Kingdom twice and the other parks only once when we're there, because that's how much we love the Magic Kingdom. So when it's a Magic Kingdom day, we get on this boat and we get to the Magic Kingdom and we just walk right in, and we could see everybody else, all the people that drove a car, all the people that took the monorail,
all the suckers,
all the people that rode a bus, all of the other people are coming into the main regular entrance, and they're standing in line forever waiting. We have the boat has its own metal detector and its own entrance, and I can be in my room at the resort and then standing in the Magic Kingdom in the entrance already through the line and everything in 15 minutes.
So cool.
It's incredible. So for me, that's a really important thing, because there's plenty of other places to be standing in line, and I don't want to be standing in line waiting to get into the park. So that's why people like Erica can help you on things like this. There's a second entrance to Epcot Center. It's right there at the International Gateway, and if it's convenient for you to use it, then you should, because you're going to get in a whole lot faster. A lot of people that stay in the Epcot hotels, it's even closer than the regular
Beach Club,
entrance
anyway. Which is where we're staying in the summer, is the closest to it, boardwalk, and the Skyliner is there.
Yes.
Which is the biggest deal. Yeah. That will change, I think, a little bit of it being less known, because the Skyliner will take you to places like Caribbean Beach and Riviera and some of the value resorts that go through Hollywood Studios. However, it's still, especially now with the construction that's going on in the Future World part, I've read lots of articles, lots of stories of people who are going to that front entrance, and due to the construction and the flow of people going in being mm-hmm. inhibited by a lot of the partitions and stuff that are up, that the going in through the International Gateway is a huge, huge pro tip. That's
and
a good
have
suggestion.
You ever walked from Hollywood Studios to Epcot Center?
Yes.
No, yeah.
But when I went, it was Epcot, because it was after 1993.
Did I say Epcot Center again?
You did.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. I was not when I was six. I never made that walk. Actually, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
It was MGM. It was MGM Studios and Epcot Center. Now
so
it's
did
Hollywood
you walk
Studios.
From Hollywood to Epcot?
Yes.
And so did you go through the International
yes.
Gateway then? Because it's only like a mile, right? It's like a 1 mile walk. 20 minutes?
We had breakfast at the Rapunzel. Is it Rapunzel? Yeah, I think it's Rapunzel and the Little Mermaid on the boardwalk. Trattoria El Forno, I think is what it's called.
Sounds right.
We had breakfast there and we thought, because we always wanted to stay at the boardwalk. I love the boardwalk. We've never stayed there. We're doing a split stay this summer. We're staying at Beach Club for the first half and boardwalk for the second half. And we're like, let's take the walk from boardwalk to Hollywood Studios. And we had like an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old that was in a stroller, easy. But you can also take boats that go from that area to Hollywood Studios. And now you can also take the Skyliner. So there are a ton of different ways that you can travel with those Epcot resorts. I love the Epcot resorts. But it probably took 15 minutes. So if you like see a bus coming up,
it's like the boat is leaving, 1 mile walk is
yes.
what it is.
So, you know, it's Disney World. Maybe you don't need to walk any more than you already are doing on your own. But if you want a nice quiet stroll,
I don't know.
It's really nice.
Walking 15 minutes and walking into the park it's walking.
It's nice.
But if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm not going to walk that mile when I can just get on one of these. By the time you get on and get in and
I think you'll get there faster
mode
walking.
Mode of transportation? Yeah, you're going to get there faster walking.
So if you're trying to make a reservation, you're trying to hit a fast pass.
Yeah, and you're thinking, oh, I'm not walking all the way there. We'll take forever.
Yeah, you
no,
can totally
the walk,
walk
will be faster.
But if it's the end of the day and you're going to see Fantasmic, or you've got an evening dinner reservation and you don't have any fast passes and you're just over it and you want to sit down, the boat ride too was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
it was peaceful and it was beautiful. I'm sure it's very much so like the one that you take at Polynesian. But
we love the boat ride. The boat ride is cool.
It's a different thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a different view. Yeah.
You can travel by water. You can travel by land. Yeah. You can travel by air in the Skyliner now. It's mm-hmm. a pretty amazing thing.
Oh, you just made me. I just thought of something else that I'm going to talk about at a different podcast.
Gosh, you guys are going to have to make sure you subscribe because there's more stuff coming.
So, because I only got one more left today and I want to get to it because I know we got to get to the news. One last one. For Epcot Center.
Okay.
Number Norway.
Epcot Center. Epcot. And the brand new information is that it was changed to Epcot in 1994.
93 was the last year it was called Epcot Center. Norway. In Norway, there's a bakery. And the bakery's seating area, it's kind of built to look like an old-fashioned log cabin. Look up, and you will see that it looks like that seating area, the log cabin, has a grass roof. Well, guess what? It does have a grass roof. That's real grass up there being used as the roof
Wild.
Of this log cabin, which is... Exactly. It's true to old Norwegian log cabins. That's how they built them. They built them with sod roof, grass roofs, which was apparently kept them warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. And you so look up there. You'll see it, it kind of blends in to the whole scenery of the area. So it's not it's kind of tough to even realize that this it's got a grass roof. So once you and then once you see it, you might just think it's supposed to look like that. It's real grass, and if you look real close, you might be able to see the sprinklers that are up there to keep it looking beautiful because it's Disney World, so of course it's going to be lush, green, beautiful grass 12 months out of the year. And if you get lucky, you might see some of the Disney cast members from the horticulture department
maintaining
that cut the grass with hand clippers.
That's how I cut my grass.
They crawl up Only on top Disney of the best. Log cabin. With hand clippers and clip and cut the grass to keep it the perfect length.
That's insane.
That it looks good. And I think it's the only place in Disney World that has something that has a real grass roof. And people have to go up and actually cut it and maintain it.
Again, it's there is nowhere else where attention to detail is so specific on such a large scale.
So if you're in Norway, go to the bakery, which has amazing food anyway. And point out the grass roof and tell them the story about how that's how they used to build log cabins in Norway. Tell your kids that's how they used to build log cabins in Norway because it's true. Whew. And it's really cool
stuff. Right next to Frozen Ever After. Yeah. Next to what I think is the best princess dining experience on property, and that's Akershus.
Oh, I've not been there.
Highly recommend. This is how you do it, folks. Pro tip.
And Frozen Ever After is a great ride.
Yes. If you can do Akershus in two ways. If you've got somebody who would enjoy princess dining, first of all, I suggest, well, there's two ways to do it. When we did it the first time, you can get an 8 a.m. Akershus reservation, and the park that part doesn't open till 9. So if you get the 8 a.m. Akershus breakfast reservation, the breakfast is delicious. They have a continental buffet that you can eat off of, but then there's like cheesy scrambled eggs and cheesy potatoes and sausage and bacon and... I think Mickey waffles, like the whole breakfast hot stuff that is so delicious. That is like table service. So you can actually sit at the table where buffet character meals become kind of a trick to make sure that you're actually eating food, but at your table to see the character. It's and if you're getting food for your littles, it's a lot of work for a parent. So I like that you can go through it first and do the continental stuff if you want to get like a bagel or an English muffin or some grapes or some yogurt or whatever, and then you sit down for the hot stuff and it is so good. So if you snag an 8 a.m. Akershus reservation, we walked out of our breakfast, the first time we did this, at about 8:50, walked into the standby line for Frozen Ever After, walked through the entire queue directly into one of the boats on Frozen Ever After, and there was nobody else in line to even fill up. Like, there were two rows that were empty.
Wow.
In the Frozen Ever After thing, because it wasn't actually open yet, and people weren't back there to get in line. And by the time we got out and got off, the ride was up to like a 35, 40 minute wait. Mm-hmm. And it was before 9 a.m. So if you get that 8 a.m. reservation, that is a great way to not have to use your tier one fast pass because it is a tier one in Epcot. You can do Frozen Ever After. You're essentially rope dropping it, but you've eaten breakfast first and it is a delicious breakfast. Or what we've done now, since we don't stress too much about how we fast pass things in Epcot as much as the first time we were there, we will... get a, I think it's like 11:10 is the last breakfast you can get because we prefer the breakfast buffets and character experiences. We have gone to booking two meals a day. So we book a brunch, like quick snack in the morning when you're on your way out, a granola bar, some yogurt, some oatmeal or something from inside the hotel. You get your 11 a.m. brunch reservation at Akershus and just book your fast pass for Frozen Ever After at 10 or so. So you can go do Frozen Ever After first. And then
you walk right out and you're
in. It's immediately.
Yeah, you're in there.
Next to the place there. So it's a super easy experience.
Frozen Ever After is a super cool ride.
It is. If you've got little kids who have anything to do with Frozen, you want to see it. So you can do a 9 a.m., a 10 a.m., an 11 a.m. fast pass if that's how you do it and make that 10 a.m. one your Frozen Ever After. Or you can make your Frozen Ever After one that you would have that would be in the window when you would get out. So
that's
you could get done and walk right on.
Yep.
That is my... we've done Cinderella's Royal Table in the castle, and we've done Akershus. If you're on the dining plan, Cinderella's Royal Table is in the castle. That's priceless. But once you've done it, and you've, like, checked the box, and you think you can move it away, the one credit at Akershus, I think it's a better character experience. I think the food is better. I think it's a better time commitment because it's not as long necessarily as Cinderella's Royal Table. I just Akershus all the way for me. Unless you want to be in the castle, that's always worth doing once.
Yeah.
All right. News?
Yeah. Coronavirus.
I'm going to save the coronavirus to last. I'm going to breeze through the rest of these here. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure in France has now been added to the map. So if you get on My Disney Experience and you're a nerd and you ever just want to look at the map because it makes you feel like you're home, you should be able to see Remy's Ratatouille Adventure now in the France Pavilion. The map offers us this according to blogmickey.com. The map offers us much more than just a first look at the pavilion expansion. It also hints at the opening time frame of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and the France Pavilion expansion because the 2020 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival runs through June 1st. It's all but confirmed that Remy's Ratatouille Adventure will open before the end of the festival. So if you have a trip that is going somewhere before June 1st, you would expect to potentially be able to scope out Remy. So that's definitely something that you're going to want to be watching because I would assume that would go to a tier one fast pass. I bet Soarin' comes off the tier one. I'm just guessing.
Oh, that'd be great.
If Soarin' would come, because I feel like that, to me, in my experience, is one of the easiest same day fast passes to get compared to Test Track and Frozen Ever After. Of the tier ones, I think Soarin' is. But maybe they'll keep it in there. I think it'll come off and Remy's will go on. And then in 2021, the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster will be up there as well.
It's going to be awesome.
I cannot wait. You going to ride it?
Probably not.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, you will.
We'll see.
Let's get some sort of sponsored trip.
All right.
If we get a sponsored trip, I will take you with me.
All right.
And Erica will go and my producer will go and... you will ride the roller coasters with me.
All right.
And I will.
That's the only way I'm guaranteeing I'm riding some of those things.
And then we'll get a therapy sponsor to go along with it.
The Aerosmith one is like intense.
That's intense. I get off that one. I've done it twice now. And when I get off, I'm always like, I don't know that I need to do that again. And then we go and I'm like, okay, I'll just do it
the people that listen to us on the radio will know this name, Chris Harps. He's the co-host of one of my shows here on the radio station. And his wife basically made him go to Disney World recently.
How did he like it?
And he always thought Disney World is great for kids.
Yeah.
But why would I want my wife and I to just go there without kids?
Tell me he loved it.
How could we not? He loved it.
Tell me he's like, can't wait to go back.
And he loves to ride rides. And so he's like, but all the rides at Disney World are like kiddie rides.
Ah!
And so I talked to him after he rode the Rock and Roller Coaster.
He did?
And he was like,
whoa!
Nobody told me. He's like, nobody told me that it was going to be like that. He goes, the thing, I got in and they put the straps down. Woo! And I thought to myself, are we going upside down?
Oh, heck yeah, you are. And you're going to do it really fast.
Yeah. And he was like, I didn't know I was going to be going upside down.
Is he a coaster guy?
Yeah. He likes rides, and he didn't think Disney had any of that.
Can we get him in here
He didn't think it would be fun unless you have kids, or it wouldn't be worth it unless you have kids. And I think his mind has been changed.
We're going to have him in.
Yeah.
Can you work that out?
I can arrange that.
He's a hard
that.
Man to get a hold of.
Yes, he is. But we can make that happen.
All right. A couple more news items here. I know that y'all know that the castle is getting remade. And while it is getting the paint, the little gold hues and the bluer spires and everything. There were some concerns about how this was going to affect the other things that go around on the castle. They've said nothing's going to be canceled. However, Mickey's Royal French Affair is a popular show that takes place several times a day on the stage in front of Cinderella's Cinderella Castle. Excuse me. The show isn't closing altogether, but the number of showings has been reduced from 5 shows to 3 shows a day, and they are now going to occur in the evening hours. So they are taking that Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair and paring it down to 3 shows, and that's going to be in the evening. So if you really like that show, if you like the songs and everything, you're going to want to make sure you schedule the opportunity to see that in the evening. That's from KennyThePirate.com, a great website to follow if you are looking for Disney updates. Another one from Kenny the Pirate, Space 220. The restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been following this at all? It's very dramatic. It was
barely.
Supposed to open.
Yeah.
I mean, suggestions were even late 2019 winter. Mm-hmm. It got pushed back. The chef that they hired decided to go to Vegas, I think. And then they had to find a new chef. Well, it turns out that there is a new anticipated opening date. It was supposed to be late initially, like I said, late 2019. Most recently, according to KennyThePirate.com, they reported a month ago that the new Space 220 date was pushed back from March 30th to a date in April. Apparently, there was a large pane of glass that was custom that broke during construction. That had to suck.
Come on, guys.
And this is according to an article from Total Food Service. Space 220 will open next month. Next month, Patina, restaurant group is set to launch into space with this opening of Space 220 inside Epcot Center. This is what this says.
It says center. Hey!
Crazy.
I'm not the only one.
Creating everlasting magic in the city known for doing just that. The 375-seat restaurant is inspired by the cosmos, and to anchor their tabletop specification in space with so much gravity, or lack thereof, PRG's procurement team selected the ultra-sleek Tilia pattern in black. So you can see a little bit more information on this, but there is the anticipated April 2020 date, which means I'm sure the second that they announced that starting date, reservations would be accessible. So if it's a must do and you've got a vacation coming up, you are absolutely going to want to be watching that, because those reservations are going to book up and book up very fast. Coronavirus.
Here we go.
Speaking of dining reservations.
Here we go.
This is from the chief medical officer, Dr. Pamela Heimel, for Disney World and Disneyland. As you may know.
What do you think that salary is?
It's more than mine.
Whew.
Significantly multiplied
chief
times
medical officer
exponentially.
Of Disney.
Yes.
World.
Like, you got to know your stuff. You cannot.
Dang right, you
play
do.
In that arena. You got to know what you're doing. As you may know from the news, COVID-19, commonly known as novel coronavirus 2019, has become a more widespread concern. As part of our commitment to the health and well-being of our cast, guests, and the larger community, we are carefully monitoring the evolving coronavirus situation and are in regular contact with health agencies for information and guidance. Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort are welcoming guests as usual, and we continue to implement preventative measures in line with the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and other health agencies. While Disney World, Disneyland, and all of our parks and resorts around the world have high standards of cleanliness, which assists with illness prevention, and we have health and safety protocols in place, such as training for cast members with ongoing reinforcement on a regular basis, defined cycles for frequent cleaning and disinfection of targeted areas, easy access to hand washing facilities and hand sanitizers, quick response to spills, trash, and other situations, end of day sanitation procedures for restroom, kitchen, and other facilities, frequent cleaning and, quote, wash down of outdoor locations, including walkways and queues. Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, our on-site health teams and leaders are communicating with our cast members about illness prevention, including the guidance of the CDC. The CDC recommends everyday preventative actions to help stop the spread of germs, such as staying at home when sick, washing hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, following proper respiratory cough etiquette, avoiding close contact with people who are sick, and avoiding touching eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. The CDC provides more detailed coronavirus information on its website, and as always, your personal physician is a valuable resource for specific medical questions you may have. If you have any questions about visiting Walt Disney World Resort or Disneyland Resort, please call 407-WDISNEY. Please visit Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort to learn more about our health and safety measures for the coronavirus. Thank you, Dr. Pamela Heimel, Chief Medical Officer, Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products.
Real question.
Sure.
Somebody, you're going to Disney World. Your trip is next week or within a month. And you read that somebody at Disney World had coronavirus, does it change your mind at all?
I would pay a lot of attention to it. It does not immediately change my mind.
It doesn't mind either.
Because the chances of somebody who has coronavirus being at Disney World is probably
it's gonna
high.
Happen. It's probably yes. It's gonna happen at some point.
Or
it's gonna happen at some point.
Other things.
Yeah.
You know, it's Disney World.
It's how many people have been to Disney World with the flu?
Yeah. If you want to go on a vacation, if you want to go to a sporting event, if you want to go to an arena, if you want to go to a concert,
yeah.
There are lots of people there, and you are the one who has to be the most in control of your own hygiene, and mm-hmm. you got to like double it up. So I think for me personally, I don't have anybody in my family that is maybe higher risk, but I do have dear friends who were just at Disney World in the middle of February who have a son who is very high risk. And I think they would absolutely reconsider.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably circumstantial. I think that it's definitely one of those scenarios where everybody knows their own personal circumstance best, and you've got to follow your gut instinct. I'm paying attention to it right now if I'm going in the next month, but I'm not pulling the cord. I'm not pulling it immediately.
Yeah, me either.
So I'll go right now. You want to go?
Yeah.
You want to go ride Expedition Everest?
If you're taking me
if I'm
right
buying.
Now, if you're buying,
I think we could probably get some cheap airfare.
I'll ride all your rides.
Yeah,
I'll
absolutely.
Ride all your crazy, scary rides.
Well, thanks for listening to this edition to Main Street Cred on the Pixie Dust Podcast. It's a pleasure. Tony Colombo here with me. To have these conversations with you, please email Annie Fry Show. That's Frey, anniefryshow@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions or questions, comments about anything that we have discussed here, we'd love to hear from you. You can also subscribe to this podcast. Please make sure that you go to your favorite podcast subscriber and click that subscribe button so that you get updates whenever we upload new content. And please, if you have any questions about booking a Disney World trip, reach out to our friend Erica Murphy, E-R-I-K-A at magicexpeditions.com. You can also find her on Facebook. Erica Murphy Magic Expeditions is her Facebook page. And until next time, mm-hmm. thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Podcast.